located 8333 Acoma Way. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom. Good Sabbath.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Well, good morning. Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning is Ellen Brown, who has done a great deal of work on economics and banking and has some very interesting views about California, where I live. Well, as you know, California is the eighth largest nation in the world. If we were an independent nation, we would have the eighth largest economy in the entire world. We've got about the eighth of the population of the United States right here in California. Our unemployment rate is 11.5%. Our economy is deteriorating. We're going to be closing one of the largest automobile manufacturers, one of the largest manufacturing plants in California. It's up at Milpitas. The federal government in Washington, D.C., knowing so much about the automotive industry, has said that the General Motors is going to have to stop producing Pontiacs, and they produce Pontiacs at the Milpitas General Motors Toyota plant. Toyota produces their cars there. General Motors produces their cars. But when General Motors, of course, now under government control with Mr. Obama appointing the people, and we know how Mr. Obama understands economics and what people want, and they're telling us that, well, we know the American people want little tiny cars like General Motors produces over in China, so we can import them from China, because that's what people want. They don't want those big gas-guzzling cars that they have. Oh, my goodness. Well, if people don't want them, why have they been buying them for such a long time? And the reason that the car market's down is because the economy collapsed. It has nothing to do with General Motors, although they have been producing inferior cars as part of a long-range plan to transfer manufacturing overseas. General Motors cars are not as good as Toyota, but that's because certainly of the plan of the elite who control our nation to transfer America's technology elsewhere, our manufacturing elsewhere, and make cars that aren't quite as good as other countries do, so people will buy foreign cars. But certainly as we see the major plants shutting down up in Milpitas, and we're going to be seeing more and more plants closing here in California, and, of course, more and more government officials are being laid off. We've got real economic problems. What can be done? Why the major banks have said, and the major banks really control our government, and they have said, we're not going to loan any money to California. We're not going to take their IOUs. We're going to precipitate a crisis in California so that they'll get things straightened out, and they'll be, well, I'm going to let Ellen tell you about this very interesting article she's written, because it looks like they're trying to reduce us to third world status. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what it's all about. There is an organized effort to impoverish the American people. The people who are doing it know exactly what they're doing. There are solutions, but they don't want the solutions. They want the ensuing chaos. Ellen, thanks so much for being with us again.
Thanks, Dan. Great to be with you.
You picked up the story, and I'll be quiet.
Well, I would have to agree with you that it's intentional. I mean, you can't exactly prove that, but every depression in history has occurred because of a contraction in the money supply. And who controls how much money is out there? It's the bankers. All of our money comes from debt.
And they work in concert. I think that's what's so important. All of the major banks have refused to lend money to California. All of the major banks here in California are refusing to take our IOUs. They work together in concert. They are not independent at all. Go ahead.
I called the California Treasurer's Office yesterday to ask what banks that state actually has their funds in. There's seven banks, and three of them are those Wall Street banks that have refused to take our IOUs.
then all they do is pull their money up, and they're not about to do that because they really don't have much money.
You're right. They're not about to, and that's the problem. It's so hard. It seems to me politicians must all be beholden to the moneyed interests that get them in there. So how do we affect that? I don't know. But assuming that we actually had a democracy and actually had awareness among the people, you could fix this problem pretty easily. You just need to put the money back in there that has gone missing. And all that money comes from loans, so because all of our money except coins comes from loans, there's only loans only compose about $1 billion worth of the money supply, and the money supply used to be $13 trillion the last time they reported M3, which is the largest measure of the money supply. So that means coins is almost nothing. It's mere tokens. And all of the rest comes from banks issuing loans. That includes the dollar bills, which come from the Federal Reserve, printing dollars. Well, they order them up, and then they get them for the cost of printing them, and then they lend them to the U.S. government, and that's how they get into circulation. So they, too, are loans. So if you contract the money supply, I mean, if you cut down on the number of loans, you will contract the money supply, then the money's not there to pay workers and materials, and so businesses wind up laying people off, and then the people don't have the money to spend. Consumers aren't there, so everything just contracts and contracts. That's what happens in a depression. So to reverse that, you have to get some loans out there. And if the banks aren't doing it, we, the people, should step up and do it ourselves, meaning the California government could take all their revenues. There's one state in the country that does this, North Dakota. They put all their revenues in a state bank, the Bank of North Dakota, and then all banks fan their reserves or their deposits into many times that sum in loans. So suddenly you have much more credit than you started out with.
Could you reiterate that? Because this is what most people don't understand. They don't understand what fractional reserve banking is and how banks create credit out of nothing. This is not money, but it's credit, and it utilized as money. So they, in essence, there's a certain amount of money, that's the paper and the coins that are actually created by the central government, and then the banks actually issue loans with, you know, denominated in money, but it's not really money. It's simply credit. They create it out of nothing. That's a great scam, isn't it?
It is, and they only need to keep enough paper money around to make it look like they're actually dealing in paper money, or actually the paper money that people come to the window and they ask for. The banks will keep that much on hand. So that was the original reason for the reserve requirement, was to have enough money to pay depositors when they walk in the door. A banker explained that to me. I said, well, this is a form of fraud that they're pretending to have money they don't have. And he said, well, it's called a demand account. That means not that we have the money. It means if you demand it, we'll come up with it. So in other words, and they know that people demand their money only 10% of the time, roughly. And so that was the basis of the 10% reserve requirement. It goes back to the goldsmiths of the 17th century, who would keep people's gold for safekeeping, and then other people would want to borrow it, and they didn't really want to carry this heavy gold around, so they wrote these paper receipts called banknotes for it, and people preferred trading the paper. And the banks.
And that's what's going on today. That's how our whole banking system works, and that's how the bankers are able to buy the politicians, perpetuate the fraud, feel the truth. American people, we'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at The Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of The Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by The Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's the Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city. And be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and of course our guest this morning, Ellen Brown, who's been explaining how the fraudulent banking system works. Here in California, the banks are conspiring to create a crisis, and the major banks, number one, refuse to lend money to our state. They've lowered the rating of our state bonds to junk status. That's a triple B. And furthermore, now they won't take the state IOUs. They want to precipitate the crisis, and they're working together. You have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that is known as a conspiracy when a group of financial institutions get together and all agree we're going to create a crisis in the state of California. But they're doing it all across the nation. The reason we don't have, you know, the money is not available for loans for businesses and businesses are closing up is because the banks are conspiring to create the crisis. And as Ellen has said, every major depression we've ever had in the history of our nation has been created intentionally by the banks. They created the Great Depression in the 30s by withholding money. They're doing it today intentionally, purposely, maliciously. And all this I talk about, oh, how the Obama administration's trying to get business going again and how we're trying to preserve the homes for people, and yet, of course, over 1.8 million people have lost their homes in this year. It's all smoke and mirrors. They don't want you to understand they want this crisis. You pick up the story, Ellen, because Ellen has some excellent thoughts nobody else is expressing.
Well, I would agree. They have said that the reason they're not honoring these IOUs, originally they had said they would, the banks, it's four Wall Street banks, that had said originally that they would honor these IOUs, and as soon as California actually issued the IOUs, then they changed their mind and they said they wouldn't. And the reason that they gave for not honoring them was that we don't want to get in the way of the California legislatures working it out among themselves. Well, it sounds sort of benign when you put it that way, but what they mean is we don't want to give them. We want to force them to come to a deal quickly. Well, why aren't they coming to a deal? Because we have no good solutions here. The choices are raise taxes, but they've already been raised, or to cut services. Well, they've already been cut to the bone. There's just nowhere else to go. I mean, if it was that easy, we would have come up with a solution long ago. We would have come up with a proper budget that everybody was happy with, and everybody could go home and have their summer vacations. But they haven't.
Don't you think that certainly the state, California, has wasted an awful lot of money. They have tremendous pension funds for their state retirees, far better than the average individual can get. I mean, they have, you know, if you have a teacher, they have very small class sizes, then they'll have an assistant teacher. I mean, half of our money goes into education, and they're doing a rotten job of educating our people. Don't you think that government could do a better job than it's doing?
Well, there are certainly other reasons that California's budget got in trouble, but we were still doing fine until this credit crisis, and the credit crisis was caused by the banks. In fact, if you want to trace it way back, it was caused by the Bank for International Settlements, which imposed the Basel I Accords in 1998, and then the Basel II Accords, they imposed it in 2002, or 2004, they issued the rule, and then the U.S. adopted it in the fall of 2007, and up till then, our stock market had hit its all-time high, and the very next month, when they imposed the market rule, they changed the accounting rules, the banks collapsed. I mean, the banks were unable to make loans because suddenly they didn't have the assets that they needed in order, the capital that they needed according, it was like new rules. So before they had the capital, and then all of a sudden they didn't have the capital, so they couldn't make those loans anymore. And since all of our money consists of loans, when the loans go away, our money goes away. So you're creating a depression, and it was created by the banks.
Amen. So, go ahead. Well, then what's the solution?
Well, so we could fix it by having our own bank. Just as this, there's this one, there is precedent. In 1919, the Bank of North Dakota was formed by a group of farmers. They called themselves the Nonpartisan League because they were basically just farmers who wanted their farms back. They were in a depression conditions where they were all losing their farms to the Wall Street bankers and the railroad men and the granaries. And it actually was a form of extortion because the granaries weren't taking their grain even though the grain was perfectly good. And the reason was obviously that they were trying to get these farms. They wanted the farmers to default. So the farmers banded together and decided they were going to have their own credit and they were not going to be dependent on these Wall Street banks. So they set up their own sort of central bank in North Dakota, which is the Bank of North Dakota, and to get the deposits that they need for the deposit base in order to create many times that sum in loans, by law, they put all their state's revenues in that bank. Now, if we were to do that today in California, of course, one problem would be that the banks where the revenues are now would not be pleased. They would lose that big chunk of deposits, which means that many fewer loans that they can make. But we bailed out. Those four big Wall Street banks, we bailed out. We, the people, those banks would be bankrupt if we hadn't given... It was $25,000 to... $25 billion, yeah. To Citigroup, Wells Fargo, and J.P. Morgan Chase, and then $15 billion we gave to Bank of America. And those are the four that won't make loans to us. So we help save them. We, the taxpayers of California, are one-eighth of the American economy. So we definitely contributed to this bailout. And the whole reason that we bailed out those big banks was that they were supposed to provide a credit system for the country, for the people.
Well,
and they haven't.
By the credit system, they lent money to China, to India, to Dubai, to Spain. And they lent money all throughout the world, but they specifically didn't lend money here in America because they wanted to precipitate the crisis. And the American people have never been told. They think, oh, shucks, they just don't have any money to lend. Of course they have money to lend. They created out of nothing. But they created this crisis, and the American people, of course, eventually are going to be totally impoverished intentionally as they lower our living standards, or as I like to say, raising our living standards to that of the Chinese peasant. Go right ahead, Ellen.
Yeah, no, I think that is the goal here. The Bank for International Settlements is the central banker's central bank, so it's the private head of the private banking system. And we just agreed in April at the G20, or President Obama signed on to this deal where we would all be part of something called the Financial Stability Board, the G20 countries would be. And that's 19 countries plus the EU. So it's very vague what the Financial Stability Board is, but it's something that was established earlier, the Financial Stability Forum, but now it is said to have teeth. In other words, we've agreed to comply with their rules. Well, their rules are very broad. They're going to cover every form of everything having to do with finances. And including one thing that alarmed me, there were like these 12 standards and principles and standards that we had agreed to. One of them was about transparency to... Well, they're all about transparency, and then they have these committees that are overseeing the thing to see if you're complying with the rules in a way that goes along with sound banking and finances. So one of them was the structure and function of government. So does this mean they get to look at the structure and function of our government and say, no, we don't think that comports with sound banking principles, you're going to have to change it? Or what I could envision is any country, someday when we have this huge depression, some country is going to wake up and say, we have this depression because the bankers are not lending us the money we need to keep our economies going. We could solve this. We could issue our own money. But then the Financial Stability Board will say, oh, sorry, you signed on to this deal that we're all in, and you agreed to comply with our rules. And our rules say that you can only borrow money. A government cannot issue money. A government can only borrow money. Of course, borrow it from whom? The bankers. So the money is created by the banks and lent to governments. And that's the flaw in our whole banking system, and it could be fixed by allowing
the thing is
government
that where do the bankers, a lot of the money that they have as to use as the foundation for all the money they lend is the government money. And certainly, the government, when it takes money in, it deposits it in the bank, and then the bank use that as the basis of the money that they lend. That's what Andrew Jackson did. He pulled his money out of the central bank back in 1832 or 1833. And, of course, the bankers were furious because that was the basis of the money that they were using on a fractional reserve system to make massive loans and make billions of dollars, even in those days. And they were furious with Jackson. They tried to kill him. They sent an assassin to kill him. And fortunately, both pistols misfired, and Andrew Jackson survived. Of course, poor old Abraham Lincoln didn't do as well, and there were attempts on McKinley and many of the other presidents. John Kennedy was going to begin to issue silverback currency, and we know what happened to John Kennedy. These people are vicious, but behind them, I believe, are powerful spiritual forces. So certainly North Dakota has a state bank that issues its own money. And as you wrote in your recent report, North Dakota is not in the throes of a recession like the rest of the country, is it?
No, they have the biggest surplus they've ever had, and they're one of only two states that are in that condition. The first thing, when I first wrote about this, it was a few months back, and there were four states that were able to meet their budgets. And then the next time I looked, there were three states. And then there were two states. I suspect North Dakota is going to be the only one left standing. The other one's Wyoming. And North Dakota, it's not what you would call one of these booming states where you would expect. I mean, the reason they set up this Bank of North Dakota was that they were desperately poor. They were one of the poorest states in the country during the Depression. The bank had gotten into Republican hands during the 20s, and then in 1932 it was taken back by a leader who used it for the purposes to help the people themselves. And so from that point on, North Dakota turned around and it became a booming. I mean, it got out of being in the red. And now it's got a $1.2 billion surplus, which is great that has a very low population. You know, it's a very isolated state. It's cold. It's just a bunch of farmers. So the way they do it is the way they've gotten away with it and not gotten shut down is that they partner with the other banks. So the other banks actually like them. And I saw an interview of the head of the Bank of North Dakota, and he said if any other state wanted to try this, that was the interviewer had asked him, do you think this would work for other states? And he said, well, if they want to try it, one thing they have to do is partner, or what he would recommend is partner with the other banks so that they're not hostile to you. So what they do is they backstop the other banks. They provide the funds. So you want to get the funds out to the people, but we need banking. Banking is a good thing. So we need credit. And so you allow the other banks to do the credit, and then your big Bank of California would be provide the credit for those other banks. So they would help with the extra credit.
And so what Ellen is in essence suggesting is we form a state bank in California, and we create our own money like where does J.P. Morgan get their money to lend? They create it out of nothing. Where does Wells Fargo and Bank of America? They create it out of nothing. Why can't our state do that? oh, that would be a terrible thing. We need the bankers. We have to rely upon the bankers. No, ladies and gentlemen, they're working together as a conspiracy. All of them have agreed. Not three of the four, but all of the four major banks have agreed. We're not going to lend any money. We're not going to accept your IOUs. We're going to create the crisis. And it should be so obvious. And Ellen brings this out beautifully in an article. Ellen, how can people get your material? Because Ellen's material is very provocative. She's written an excellent book. And her theme is, why don't we have state banks? Well, of course, the reason they don't want state banks is, I mean, it's much harder to control 50 state banks, you know, for the international financiers than it is one Federal Reserve System, and that they control the Federal Reserve System, and through that, of course, the Federal Reserve System is really owned by the private banks. And we have about nine banks, or maybe even seven now, a couple have gone down, that really control our banking system, finance our politicians, put Barack Obama in the White House, and control the media. They all work in concert together to enslave and now, of course, to impoverish the American people. We're going to be right back in a moment.
Got a home project in mind but no idea what kind of tools and equipment you'll need? No worry. Grand Rental Station has knowledgeable, friendly consultants to walk you through the process. The Grand Rental staff of experts will guide you through selecting the right equipment, teaching you how to use it safely and correctly, and suggestions on how to achieve professional results. Give the staff of professionals a call today in Loveland, 970-669-3866. That's 970-669-3866. Rent the equipment. Keep the advice. Grand Rental Station. Don't forget to tell them the KH&C sent you, and you appreciate the support of this station. 970-669-3866.
Ferris Survival is your one-stop shop for all your family preparedness needs. Ferris Survival carries high-quality, long-term storable food from Mountain House with a 25-year shelf life. Come by and pick up some high-quality organic bulk grains like wheat, quinoa, corn, and barley. Filter your drinking water through the world-famous British Birkfeld water filtration system and reduce or remove bacteria, chlorine, parasites, sediment, and rust for the best-tasting water for pennies a day. Pick up a 3-day kit from Survivor Industries for the car. Ferris Survival also carries a huge selection of hard-to-find books from Paladin Press and Desert Publications. Ferris Survival is located at 3366 South Broadway, three blocks north of Hamden in Inglewood. Call Ferris Survival at 1-866-781-0343 or on the web, www.fserve.com. Prepare your family. Visit Ferris Survival today.
In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Article 6 of the Bill of Rights.
Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. Three praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, I guess this morning, Ellen Brown, our telephone number, 877-245. Oh, my goodness, we've got a new number that they've just, 877-245-7524, I think it is. Probably I've got it wrong. I'll have to have my producer come on and get it for us. Anyway, if you know what your the new telephone number, it's an 877 number, why, give us a call. Ellen, would you like to get your website out there?
Yeah, my website is webofdebt.com. That's the name of my book, Web of Debt. You can order my book on my website or on Amazon. And I have many, many articles linked at the top of my website. And then I also have a blog where which many people have discussed all these issues. It's also linked at the top. So that's webofdebt.com.
Webofdebt.com. And Ellen has been talking for some time about really the necessity of establishing state-controlled banks to control, provide money for the state that would be answerable to the state in looking after the people's interests rather than the interests of the financiers. And this is really what it's really all about. So if you're out there in the listening, why, we'd love to hear from you. We'll have to have our producer come on and give me that new telephone number. It's an 877 number, 2457524, I think it is. 877-2457-524. Anyway, give us a call, and we'd love to hear from you if you have any thoughts on this. But this is vitally important. It could be done in the individual states, and this is really how things worked, at least to some extent, isn't it? After the Federal Reserve, after the central bank was done away with, after Andrew Jackson did away with the second bank, how did the banking system work when we didn't have a central bank between 1833 and 1913?
Well, actually, immediately after Andrew Jackson pulled out the revenues, that's a great example, by the way. I think I'll write an article on that, because that's exactly what he did. He pulled the money out of the bank that he was quite upset with, because he called them a den of vipers and thieves, which is, you could say that about our banks today. I mean, everybody knows that this system is bad. We all know that we're funding the crooks, and that the innocent taxpayers are being being taken for a ride here, but we don't know what we can do about it. But that's what Andrew Jackson very boldly stood up to the banks. He was the last person that ever paid off the federal debt. He boldly stood up to the banks, pulled his money out, and put them into state banks. But what happened after that, it was followed by a depression, but the reason was that they were limited to gold, and they just didn't have enough money in the money supply. So what you would need to do is you've got to have your credit system. You need a banking system that is issuing credit. So if you're going to diminish the private banking system, you have to increase the public banking system to replace that credit. In fact, the reason that we have to change the system is that the private system is not putting enough credit out there.
Okay, who's calling in? Who's calling in for us?
Yeah, this is Jay. Hello?
Yes, go right ahead.
Yes, this is Jay. I have a question. As far as the credit, you know, as far as giving the money, issuing back to the states and back to the federal government, as long as, you know, I think it's important that we make sure that it is backed by something solid, you know, preferably silver, for the purpose that the politicians have already proven themselves unworthy of the trust to have that kind of power anyway, because going through the Fed, you know, they basically have an endless checkbook. They ask the Fed for money, the Fed gives it to them, and then the addiction continues. So I think if we are able to switch over to that, I think we've got to be very careful about the way that we do it, because our politicians are highly corruptible if they're not totally corrupt already. And the other problem that I have is the more I study this issue, the more worried I become, because of the history of the people that you're talking about. I do think that there are evil forces that are working behind the scenes with all this. And once they begin to lose that monopoly and that power, aren't we running a huge risk of not just having a depression, but I mean a gigantic world war? They would use that just to extinguish as many people as they could.
All right, let's get Ellen's response to that. How do you respond to our caller who's saying, look, state banks sound really great, but there has to be something that restricts the politicians from just spending and spending and spending and spending. If there isn't something requirement that they can't issue all the credit they want to, certainly the credit that's needed is one thing, but why not give every politician a $10 million, you know? After all,
yes,
they can vote it for themselves. How do you restrict the politicians and the state and the bank itself from eventually destroying itself?
Well, they're restricted now. I mean, they have a budget ceiling, and they spend as much as they want. And they,
exactly,
they increase the budget system ceiling. So they're not limited by the fact that they don't have the money. But what they do is they spend it, and then they issue bonds and sell them, mm-hmm, to private parties. Well, mm-hmm, all that money that is bought by private parties ultimately originated with banks. I mean, it's because it's kind of sealed within the system, that's not obvious. You say, well, that was, you know, money that the Chinese paid, and that was real money. That's not borrowed. I mean, that's not money created by banks. But somewhere down the line, that money came from a bank, because there is nowhere else the money can come from. Somewhere, somebody borrowed it into existence and bought merchandise in China, and then China bought the bonds, and then it goes back to the U.S. government. So the point is, all that money, all that debt that Congress is continually accumulating, we're paying interest on. And it's, if you look at any of these charts of compound interest, that goes up exponentially. I mean, that's a debt trap that you can't escape. So they're going to do that anyway. I mean, they're going to spend whatever they spend. That what controls how much Congress spends is not the fact that they don't have the money. That never seems to stop them. What controls it is that they have to vote on a budget, and they have to all agree that this is a reasonable budget. And of course, they never do. They always just raise the budget limits, and then they spend it.
So I guess what I'm hitting on is I think it's important that we have it backed by a metal, you know, some sort of something that represents some kind of effort that is made. And you know, as silver has proven itself over and over again for that, I think it's very important. I mean, credit is great, but if it's not limited to something physical and keeps them from being able to print it out of thin air, then they really don't have to answer to anyone. And until we manage to get everything turned back down, and there's always this argument that there isn't enough gold or silver in the world to do that, which I don't believe, because if the market responds to how much gold and silver is actually out there, once it stabilizes, then that just means that the silver is worth more. And, you know, a smaller amount goes farther. That's something I just don't understand when people keep saying that we have to have credit. Well, credit, I mean, you could get that from your neighbor. You could get that from your church. You could get that from anywhere.
But
as long as they have
a banking system, the bank is important. Credit is important, but it has to be responsible credit. When you give,
yes,
a few people the ability to create money and then to be able to withhold the money. See, this is what they're doing today. They are intentionally, maliciously, and viciously destroying the value, is destroying our nation, and they know exactly what they're doing. We'll be right back.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
Just a good old boy.
Hi, I'm Eric Cedarstrup. For over a decade, I've been the CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor of the Patriot Trading Group. And in that time, I've made friends with tens of thousands of like-minded individuals all over this country, most like me, trying to raise a family, run a business, and make sense out of a world gone mad. I'm proud of the fact that through stock bubbles, housing bubbles, and financial chaos, our customers are prospering and doing very well. By keeping our prices fair and our service fast, we find that 80% of our customers not only reorder, but they tell their friends. Don't be fooled by hype and high pressure. Do business with a company you can trust. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 1-800-951-0592 or check out our website at allamericangold.com. You'll be treated with honesty and respect. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cedarstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
Taking your way. the only way they know how.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here, our guest is Ellen Brown, and we're certainly talking about what can be done to break the stranglehold of a few very large banks over the financial destiny of America, and certainly the banks working in concert over the financial destiny of the world. They seem to have a different agenda. They're intent upon creating chaos in this nation and throughout the world at the present time. Is our caller still there? I guess we lost him. So if you're out there and you'd like to give us a call, 877-254-7524. It may be 245, but you haven't got that number memorized yet. But it's an 877-254-7524. Give us a call. And Ellen's point is well made. Certainly, if the state can create its own money, why don't we do that in North Dakota? Why can't we do that here in California? Ellen, has anybody picked up on your suggestion?
Well, I am talking to various, not exactly legislatures, but
Can you speak up just a little louder, please?
Oh, sorry, I am talking to various legislators' offices, and we're making a certain amount of progress. I'm trying to work up actual numbers to show exactly where the money would go, how much you would save. For instance, we pay $5 billion in interest. So if you could refinance, in other words, buy back all those bonds, then that interest would go back to the government bank. In other words, the government would get that money. You would save $5 billion right there just in the interest.
And maybe we stop financing the illegal immigrants, we'll have another $10 billion. There's lots of ways that we could solve the problems here in California, but the Democrats don't want to solve it. The Republicans say we don't want to raise taxes, and if we do raise taxes, why, we're just going to drive, you know, industries out of California. You raise the income tax, you're going to drive the wealthy people out of the country. Out of the state to another state, and people will always find a way to get away from paying taxes as long as they still have the ability to pick up and move here in the United States.
Mm-hmm. They've made us think that the whole problem is a shortage of money, but we don't have a shortage of goods and service. I mean, of materials. We don't have a shortage of workers. We have all the things that we need, and we have the intelligence. We have the computer programs. We can put it all together and make stuff, but all we're short of is the money. Well, money is not something that should be in shortage. That's actually my problem with the gold and silver system, is that you're assuming that money is something that can be scarce. In other words, you can only have it if you can get it from someone else. But that's not what credit is. Credit is the full faith and credit of the community. It's the community saying, we'll accept your promise to pay later, given all these, you'll put up some collateral or show us that you have the ability to pay and that you're honest and that you mean well and that you intend to pay out of the proceeds of what you're going to make, and we'll trust you to do that, and we'll give you the things you need. We'll give you the workers. You pay our workers with these little receipts, which are going to be honored in the community as good for a certain amount of goods and services. So credit is just a system that the community provides in order to get workers and materials together so they can make things, so that we have a functioning.
But how do you keep the state bank from printing excess money or creating excess credit and creating so much that you credit out there, so much, in essence, money out there, that eventually leads to an inflationary spiral, and then you've got to put out more credit and more money, and then more credit and more money, because this has happened in countries throughout the world with no barrier. There has to be something that restricts the amount of money they put out, because people will act irresponsibly, whether they be the politicians or people working in banks.
Well, the limit I would put on it, what causes that inflationary spiral, is money making money. In other words, speculation. People borrowing money for the purpose of making money with it,
right?
Instead of making good, actual things. So if you put a limit on this credit and said, we're only going to issue this public credit for infrastructure and creating things. In other words, you have to show us your business plan here, what you're going to do with the money. If you're going to build something, you get a loan, because you can have as much money in the system as you have goods and services, and you're not going to drive up the price. Price goes up when money increases faster than goods and services. So if you use your new money to build new goods and services, say you used to have 10 things and $10, and so the things would be $1 each. Now, if you suddenly have $100 competing for those 10 things, you're going to drive the price up to $10 each. But if you use your new $100 to build 100 things, then you're still going to have, the price is still going to be $1 each. So that
well,
would
the
be
thing
the
is, how do we get people to act
for productive purposes?
How do we get people to act responsibly? That's the thing. You're absolutely right. If everybody was responsible, would do what they were supposed to, but you know there are always people who want to borrow money to make money. And who do we have on the line? Who's calling in?
Yeah, this is Jay again. My phone had died previously. Sorry about that. I was just listening to that, and you know, it sounds great. Like just like you were saying, Dr. Stan. I mean, when you have something like that, you're just waiting for abuse to happen. I hate to sound, you know, pessimistic about it, but I have very little faith in any of our government systems. They always fail us, and when you give them a power like that, it makes me extremely nervous because it never turns out right, and it always ends up hurting us. If there, like I was saying before, if there isn't something tangible and that can really hold on to the power of this and the influence of this, it will get out of control. It's great to say, you know, this, we have full faith in service, and we're gonna, you know, the community is gonna loan you this, these goods and services, and you're gonna be trading this back and forth. But eventually, someone, sometime, up high that has the authority to do that will cheat. It happens every time. And unless there's something tangible and physical, you can't get around it.
Well, man is basically sinful. I think that this says that in the Bible. And
absolutely,
that's the problem we face. And then there really are evil people out there who would love to use the financial system to advance their agenda. Hey, thanks very much for your call.
Thank you.
We're just about out of time. What are your parting thoughts for us?
Well, actually, the problem I have with the gold and silver system is that how are you? Let's assume that there are two choices. Either you have gold-backed money, or you have all gold. Your money is only gold. Let's assume your money was only gold.
Well, you have to have credit based upon some sort of an anchor, which was gold. In other words,
you have to have credit based upon gold.
There's nothing wrong with that as long as you can limit the amount, perhaps to 10 times the amount of gold actually held. That system worked pretty well for hundreds of years.
Well, right now, whenever anybody walks into the bank and they want a loan, what the bank does is they monetize something. They turn the buyer's promise to pay into money.
Hey, we're
so
out of
it
time,
might be a mortgage.
We'll carry it on some other time. Ellen's got a lot of great ideas. I think we should listen to her. Thanks so much. Talk to you later.
Thank you.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. 3 Praise and Worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org.
at the American Freedom Network, and hope you enjoyed our conversation with Ellen. We certainly hope that you want to get my talk on the financial Armageddon that goes into the background of how this small cabal of bankers have created the whole problem, the history of the Federal Reserve System, how banking really works. This whole idea of a fractional reserve system, they only have to keep a fraction of the money on hand, and then they can create money out of nothing. And boy, that's the greatest scam in the world. But behind that are the powerful spiritual forces that are using this great wealth they've created to bring about a one-world order. And this just didn't happen. I mean, Woodrow Wilson was talking about this, you know, over 100 years ago. And certainly Franklin Delano Roosevelt was writing about this, and we actually, in our syllabus, give you a copy of the letter that Franklin Delano Roosevelt wrote to Colonel House in November of 1933, talking about how, as you and I know, why the financial elements in the major centers has owned the government since the days of Andrew Jackson. And we're going to be fighting the same battle between the banks that Andrew Jackson fought, only on a much larger scale. Of course, FDR didn't understand that the man he was writing to, Colonel Edward Mandel House, was the agent of the very bankers that he thought he was opposing. And, of course, he was himself involved with the occult, not understanding how this whole world occult movement is moving towards one world government and a one world religion. That's what it's all about. And we are in the throes of the greatest crisis, financial crisis in the history of mankind, and most people are going to end up being impoverished. You need my talk on the financial tsunami and the syllabus. It was given about 4 years ago. You need my talk on financial Armageddon and the syllabus that goes with that. You need my talk on the Brotherhood of Darkness and the book that goes with that. You need my talk on the Forbidden Secret and the syllabus that goes with that. As you hear George Bush talking in esoteric terms during both his first and second inaugural speech, talking about the angel who rides in the whirlwind and directs the storm. He used that phrase twice in his first inaugural address. Who's the angel who rides in the whirlwind? What in heavens was he talking about? They understood. You were not supposed to understand. That's why the talk, The Forbidden Secret, is so vitally important. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our web page is radioliberty.com. Go there, listen to our programs on the internet, or watch our DVDs. They're free. Watch the links to YouTubes. Read our newsletters. A lot of history there, a lot of information you need, and you need then to help us get it out to others. Again, our number, 1-800-544-8927. If you're in a position to help us, we could certainly use your help. We need to maintain our network of over 60 outlets every single week, but we can't do it unless you're there to help. We're trying to educate the American people and make them understand that we're involved in a spiritual battle. And if you haven't seen Pastor Crone's 10 DVD series on the final countdown, and how everything going on today, including the return of the children of Israel to the Holy Land, was prophesied thousands of years ago, and it's all coming to fulfillment today. So that's Pastor Crone's DVD series, 5 DVDs in each one, and we've got so many replies back from people who've really enjoyed it, the video clips, the scriptures, the description of what is really going on. That's The Final Countdown by Pastor Billy Crone. We carry his book. We've taken some of his talks on our programs, put them onto CDs if you prefer listening to CDs. And, of course, you can listen to them several times so you can learn, so you can verbalize, so you can explain to others what's going on. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for America. Pray for revival, but raise your liberty. Our provision and our protection. Until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.